Following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, the problem with self-empowerment is that it is, by itself, a false doctrine. Oh, no. There is nowhere in Scripture that it teaches God helps those who help themselves. In truth, this is the closest lie that Satan can tell to trap a person in pride and self-glory. Ooh, it's even a doctrine of demons. Yikes! Next, our confidence, ability, overcoming power, and limitless possibilities come through one. And without humility, honesty, reality, and truth, there is none. This is not our planet, it's not our body, and it's not our life if we want to follow Jesus. And finally, we examine the why of everything having to come through God for it to be correct. First, we can see that if God is involved, it's eternal work, so that makes sense. Second, we can see that if God is involved, it's for the greater good, and that makes sense. And third, we can see if God is involved, it connects us to the purpose for being created in the first place.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. david@hemustincrease.org. Right here, right in front of me. It'll get there, right there. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. All texts are working properly. Yay. And then you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you do that, you talk to Terrific T, and that's terrific. And then she puts you over to me, and that's maybe more terrible than terrific. Here's the bottom line. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And the bottom line to everything we're doing is what? We want to encourage one another to get closer to the Lord one step at a time, one step closer. All we're doing is saying, let's put our arms around each other and let's strengthen each other as we see the day approaching. And as it gets closer and closer for the Christian, it's going to get harder and harder. So we certainly hope that soon we hear, and we're gone. But until that happens, we have to occupy and do the things of the kingdom. Now, you might have an idea, a thought, a comment, a question. You might have a praise report or a prayer request or possibly an answer to trivia. I have been warning you. We'll play the warning sound one more time just so you can be aware of what's going on. Let's play the warning sound one more time. Go ahead and play that. That's so irritating. It's fantastic. Here's the bottom line. These trivia questions are harder. They are harder, okay? This first one's a little easier than the rest. The rest are really hard. Which is later in the process of the writings? In other words, which event took place later? Matthew 28 at the Great Commission or Acts chapter 1 just before the Holy Spirit falls? Which happened in the series of events later? Acts 28 or Acts chapter 1 or Matthew 28. I can get it right. Just give me time. You can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email David at hemustincrease.org. That's David at hemustincrease.org. Speaking of which, that leads us to the website, which we encourage you to check out, not just for giving, but just to be encouraged, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, before we get into our teaching, I'm going to do the trivia question one more time. I told you this is going to be tougher. Somebody is calling in, so that's pretty brave. We're just simply asking, between Acts 28, which is the great, Matthew 28, which is the Great Commission, in Acts chapter 1, which is the promise of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit before the Holy Spirit comes, just before the ascension, which happened later. Which happened later. That's all we're asking. Just straightforward. Not anything weird, you know. Matthew 28 or Acts 1, which one is later? So we think we have somebody who's going to be, boy, that's a toughy question right off the bat. Somebody that's going to try and answer. We ready? Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you? How you feeling?
Oh, I could be better, but I could be worse. but the Lord's good anyway. You know, He's faithful to me. And I wanted to, you know, I haven't been listening lately because things have been, just been one of those hectic weeks. But I wanted just to remind everybody, you know, as a radio family, I like to think of us as a radio family, about John's granddaughter.
Who has I've been praying for her, right?
I need to pray for that family.
That's so good, Mary. That's
just
so good.
Because sometimes we might forget, you know.
Yep. And that's an excellent point. So I've been praying for, but you're right. We haven't brought that up on the radio show. As a Christian community, John's granddaughter going through that tough time, and I've been praying for him personally, but that's an excellent point to bring up. And one of the things I really want the show to have is that dynamic. So you know what? Can we take a second and pray for her and for John before you answer the trivia? Can we just do that together real fast?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Father, we come before you right now. We lift up John, who's a grandpa, and his granddaughter, and in that whole situation, which is way beyond what we know, but we do know it's not easy. And we're asking you to help them in that circumstance. I pray that you would give John great encouragement, give that family great hope, let there be a confidence in the grace and the mercy of God. And Lord, pour your love into their hearts and let us as the people of your kingdom be bearers of their burden, praying for the heaviness and praying for your grace and mercy to overwhelm the heaviness of the whole thing. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Great job, Mary, thinking about that. That's excellent. I really like
Thank
that you.
You
did that. I do. It's great, great, great Christian thinking. It's great Christian attitude about bearing one another's burdens. It's really, really good. I love it. Okay? All right. You got to answer
and
the
I
trivia
hope
question.
You'll hear more from my. See, I wasn't listening yesterday. I couldn't be. I wasn't even here yesterday. I had to get a ride over to Flower Mound. Well, anyway, I hope maybe Donna will tell us a little bit more if she can.
Well, we're going to keep praying for her, too. Yep. We want to know what's going on with that as well. All right. Now, I need you to answer this because I know you're smart enough and you can do it. Which came first, Matthew 28 or Acts chapter 1? Which came first?
Matthew
which
came first.
And then Acts 1 then came after
Acts,
that, correct?
Acts came later.
That is correct, Mary! You are right. I just want to make sure people know the difference. That the Great Commission is in Matthew 28. And then the furthering or the empowerment, which is a great line that Kirk gave us, the empowerment took place in Acts chapter 1. Great job, Mary.
Yes.
That's good work.
That's when they received the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And
excellent
power,
work.
Power of God. All righty.
Okay, well, Mary, keep listening.
I'm really interested. Boy, I got two of them. I know the first two, but I got three more to go if I know the next three that you're going to be asking, but I know I can't call them in, so I'll be listening.
You be listening.
And thank you.
All right, God bless.
What?
God bless you.
Okay. All righty.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. Mary she's just great. She's got the great heart, great spirit. I just loved her. She's great. All right, I want to talk about this real quickly. I don't want you to get the wrong idea, because I know there's going to be some people that are going to take offense to this. And if you take offense and build it around a doghouse, you'll have a whole area for a dog to hang out. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is there are times when we get into this pride element that goes way beyond what God is allowing. We're going to talk about doing things with God in the next segment. But there is, at times, an overconfidence or independence on ourselves apart from God. And I'm telling you right now, as much as that has been a great thing for the country to lay out certain foundations, that is a bad thing if you're trying to engage with God and tell God, well, I'm going to handle it all. And then when I've decided I can't do anything left, I'll toss it your way and give you a shot. That is the wrong spirit and the wrong attitude to have with God. The idea behind this is for us to understand that self-empowerment by itself is not a biblical principle. It's not that you can't do things. It's that if you do things and stand in pride, you are in defiance towards the Lord. And that therein goes all the way back to the garden, because when they ate the fruit, the enemy said, you will be like God, all grown up. And boy, was that a problem, huh? Okay. All right, we're going to take our break and come back, get into this a little bit. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Verse 24 in Mark 5, it says Jesus went with them. Sometimes Jesus went there. Sometimes Jesus just spoke the word. Sometimes Jesus went there. It happens in all different ways. I did read this ridiculous thing from this one person who said, you know, Jesus, you know, healed, you know, every single person in the entire community and didn't charge anybody any money. They were trying to make a political argument. And the fact of the matter is he only healed one guy at the pool of Bethsaida, and that was actually a hospital. It's like, what do you guys read this stuff? So this is where you pull back from those kind of things and you go, can we just keep it on track with the truth? It's just easier if you just tell the truth and keep it the way it is and not try and make it fit some kind of narrative. Here's this narrative issued by Scripture itself. Jesus tells Jairus, don't ignore what these people are saying. Don't be afraid. Take a stand. Now, I'm going to read verse 37. You got to catch what Jesus does. Amazing. He did not let anyone follow him in except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why is all this commotion? Why all this wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. And he put them all out and took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, Talitha kaum? Talitha kaum? And that means, little girl, I say unto you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. Remember the woman of the issue of the blood was 12 years of the issue of the blood. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Jesus was still ministering to this little girl, even though she was physically raised from the dead. He wanted to make sure she was taken care of. That's how Jesus is, okay? But what I want you to get is Jesus and the disciples and the parents, so they're all there, right? Because you got the parents there as well, right? And everybody's going, she's dead, she's dead, she's dead. And they're making fun of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Kicked him out. You know, for everybody that thinks that everything Jesus did was pull a flower out of his sleeve like a magician and just smiled and gave everybody an air high five, that's not how it went. Okay? They laughed at Jesus, and he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and disciples along with him. What did he do? He cleared the air.
If Jesus
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Get ready for the next trivia question. We've already played the horn a lot, so I don't know if we need to play it every time. You want to play it? See my They're so funny. That is hilarious. Okay, here's your trivia question. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 shows the church as what? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 shows the church as what? What's the picture from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 regarding the church? Regarding the church. Boy, that's a good one. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can also email in david@hemustincrease.org. Okay, that's your opportunities if you think you know. First, I told you these would be tougher ones, and they're just going to get tougher and tougher. 1 Corinthians 12, what does 1 Corinthians 12, illustrate the body as. There you go. Illustrate the church as. Boy, I just. That's right. That's right. I blew that. All right. You ready for. It's a picture, but I kind of just gave it away in the last line, but I'm not going to. 1 Corinthians 12, right? I said that. I've got to tell you that I told this joke to my wife to make sure I could tell this. How bad is that? This is a non-theological joke. Cannot make it any clearer. Okay. All right. Ready? Here we go. Tell me what you think of this one. I think this is legendary. Just listen to, especially at the end. A race of aliens visits Earth one day. They come in peace, and surprisingly, they speak English. Obviously, all the heads of government and religious leaders want to speak to the aliens, so they set up a meeting with the new visitors. When it's the Pope's turn to ask, he says, "Do you know about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?" "You mean JC?" responds the alien. "Yeah, we know him. He's the greatest, isn't he? He swings by every year just to make sure we're doing okay." Surprised, listen to this, the Pope follows up with, "He visits every year? It's been over 2 millennia, and we're still waiting for his second coming." The alien sees that the Pope has become irate at this fact and starts to rationalize. Well, he goes, "Maybe he liked our chocolates better than he liked your chocolates." The Pope retorts, "Chocolates? What are you talking about? What does that have to do with anything?" The alien said, "Yeah, when the first time he visited our planet, we gave him a huge box of chocolates. Why? What did you guys do to him?" You see, that is funny. See, you guys can get upset about that. That is funny, okay? Why? What did you guys do? We gave him a box of chocolates. What did you guys do? I had to clear it with Noel, though. Did you like that? That was pretty good. All right, we got somebody answering the trivia question. All right, here we go. This is David losing his mind. Who am I talking to?
This is Paul, David. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing? I don't know if you heard that joke or not. A lot of people not going to appreciate it.
No, I had it turned down.
That's okay, yeah, because I don't want to get any bad emails. All right, my friend. So in 1 Corinthians 12, there's an illustration. What's the illustration the church is given as?
The body.
That is correct, Amundo! You are correct. And I'll tell you this. A lot of people don't know this, but the first image, the most generated image of the church is a body, and then the second most generated image is of a building. But it's really important to understand that the body is important because it's connected to the head, and you just try and use your hands and touch your knee without your head. You can't do it.
Jesus is the head. I know that.
That's what you got to know. There it is right there. Yeah. Good job, brother. Yeah. I appreciate that. That's good work.
Hey, no problem, brother. Y'all have a good day.
All right. God bless you. All right. You too. Bye-bye. All right. That joke on the alien thing was funny. We gave him a box of chocolates. What'd you guys do? Come on, people. All right. I find it funny. Let's go back to this. Now, I'm gonna almost do a 180, but it's a caveat 180. So what does that mean? That means that what I'm going to tell you is going in the opposite direction of what I just told you, but there's a caveat connected to it. Apart from the Lord, your self-empowerment is lousy. Not only that, it can get you thrown in hell depending on how deep you lean on it, because guess what? God doesn't help those who help themselves. People that think that they can do everything on their own act like they don't need God, therefore they're not connected to God, therefore they won't spend eternity with God. Here's the bottom line. Philippians 4:13, which we talked about the other day, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What can you do? All things. Now, people are like, you know, Dave, in context, that's Paul, and he's talking about being content. He's talking about dealing with different things in life. Like, yeah, exactly. Okay, that's 100% correct. And in context, it has to do with the ability to be content, to be in want, to be in need, the whole process. But the whole preliminary element has to do with being able to sustain it all through Jesus. And you can do that and more through Jesus. So now there's a whole group of people that are very mad at some of the athletes because they'll put Philippians 4:13 on their jersey or on their helmet or on their shoes or whatever. And it's like, get a life. Who cares if they're trying to say, I'm going to depend on the Lord to give me that extra boost and that extra energy? Who cares? You think God's offended? Oh my gosh, they're going to try and do their best calling on me. How evil. You know, it's like, come on. It's like so dumb. Okay. But through Jesus. And that's the big connection. What we try to do, we should do through Jesus. John chapter 15, verse 4 through 5. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. The premise here is that you and I can do anything through Jesus. And why that's important to understand that difference is because when you have these ideas of self-empowerment and laws of attraction, things like that, it's all about you operating in certain principles. Let me explain to you the only principle you need to ever function in as a Christian, it's through Jesus. That's all you got to do. You're not doing it without him. You can't do anything without him. This idea of having confidence, ability, overcoming, and their limitless possibility is absolutely genuine through Jesus. And in connection to Jesus, there has to be humility and honesty, reality and truth, and it's all got to be through Jesus. I can't say that enough in enough different ways for you and I to grasp it, the fullness of it. We can accomplish in connected to and in Jesus anything, except Jesus isn't interested in just making you a billionaire. He's interested in advancing his kingdom on earth so other people can hear that he has freedom for them and love for them and grace for them and mercy for them. Jesus didn't come to be anybody's genie. He didn't come to be anybody's, Santa Claus. He came to advance the kingdom and establish it and to bring glory to the Father. In the process of your existence, doing anything outside of that realm through Jesus is being it's being prideful and self, it's being independent. Remember what Adam and Eve did. Just keep in mind how important that original sin, how that real process took place. As they were in the garden, it was the enemy who twisted the word of God and said, yea, does God say, yea, hath God said, bringing doubt against the word and trying to change the very things that God has said. And in doing that, he said, he knows, or God knows, that when you eat this fruit, you'll be like God. And being like God means you're in charge. You're large and in charge. You have everything under control. Being a Christian is the exact opposite of that. You have surrendered that control into the hands of God, trusting that he can coordinate your life better than you can. And why is that important? Because the arrogance and the pride that says that you are so self-sufficient is the very thing that separates people from God. Even at the Tower of Babel. We'll just build the city up into the heavens. We don't care. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that take it on. There's one thing we need above all else, and that's to make sure we funnel everything through Jesus. When we get into the next segment, I'm going to show you, it's like a non-escape clause kind of scenario. But I just want you to understand, it's not that you can't accomplish things. That's the exact opposite. It's that the things that you accomplish are not supposed to be, or the things that I accomplish, which I have to struggle with too, are not supposed to be for my glory. It's not about the kingdom of David. It's about the kingdom of King David, but that's different. It's not about the kingdom of David Spoon. David Spoon is as much an idiot as any person David Spoon has ever met. Oh, I know a lot of scriptures, but I also know a lot of sin. I know a lot of stupid because I do a lot of stupid. But through him, I can do the right things the right way and bring glory to him. And that makes me happier than anything else. Ah, we're getting close. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay,
And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change him. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, let's get ready for our next trivia question. Do you have the sound ready? Do you have the sound ready? Good, Blake. I think this is the first time we've ever done this, right? Has to be. That's because these trivia questions are harder than normal. I've been warning you. That's your warning sign. Here it is. What's the last thing Jesus said in the New Testament? Not what are the last words. Okay. And the end is not it. Okay. What's the last thing Jesus said in the New Testament? You better be looking at Revelation. That's all I can say. If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. We've heard from a couple of different people. We want to hear from other people as well so that everybody can be a part of it. That's part of the fun. So don't get, you know, I like it when, like, Paul will come in a couple of times or Mary a couple of times. We just better, but we just want to keep it open because that's what you do, because we are what? Brothers and sisters in the Lord, okay? There is no, I'm not your pastor. I'm your brother, which of course means you can't get rid of me. You know, there's a great joke that goes with that, but I'm just going to move on because I don't want to get in a lot of trouble, okay? All right, I'm going to help Aunt Deb out. Revelation. Okay, the last thing Jesus said in the New Testament. Okay, good to have you guys. Joanne and Cordy just joining. Cordelia. Okay. Come on. All right. Been a wild and crazy show. I expect nothing less. We got to do history and plus the other thing. Oh, boy. All right, trivia question, don't forget, what's the last thing Jesus said in the New Testament? Here you go on the history. It's National Macaroni and Cheese Day. Okay, are you a fan of macaroni and cheese? See, I like macaroni and cheese, but what I have no, she puts tuna. I like tuna in it. So it's tuna, macaroni and cheese, and then sometimes she'll put like bacon bits and onions. So it's kind of like
that different. Actually sounds really good.
It is. It is really good, and then she puts in a little extra cheese, which is why I'm on a diet. Just saying. That's true. Don't get mad at me. I'm working on it. Okay. I will tell you this. On the very last thing that Jesus said, you got to look in the very last chapter of the New Testament. Maybe that'll help you. It's a Shark Awareness Day. So if somebody knocks on your door and if you remember the Saturday Night Live skit where the guy goes, Jehovah's Witness, you know, this, it was the land shark, and then they opened the door, and it was a shark. Never mind. And then also National Tape Measure Day. Let's see if anybody remembers that from the 70s. 1881, Billy the Kid is shot dead on this day. 1951, the first racehorse to win $1 million. Citation becomes the first racehorse to win over $1 million. And then in 1965, Mariner 4 takes the first close-up photos of another planet, which was Mars. Now, that's the first photos they had of another planet in 1965. So if you think about that, that's, 56 years ago, they had a picture of another planet up close. Isn't that weird? It's like you think, didn't all that just happen like in the last couple of years or 20 years or 10? Nope, long time ago. All right. Okay, was that somebody just calling it a second time? Okay. Oh, good. Did she have any update or just going to just thank you for the prayers? Okay. All right. So is that on the air that you just said that? Okay. So can I tell you that? Okay. All right. So Donna Gale called in, so I'm giving everybody an update. So her son-in-law died from a blood clot.
So, suddenly, very hard for the daughter, very hard for Donna Gale. That's sad, right? So you got to pray, bear their burden, and then pray for them, pray for the Lord to comfort them. So her son-in-law, Donna Gale's son-in-law, passed suddenly, okay, from something that took place, a blood clot. So very sad. Want to be praying for them and just be blessing them and encourage them. Okay? We love people. That's the thing. If you really, listen to me, if you really love them, you bear their burden with them. You don't have to sit next to them to pray for them and care about them. You don't have to sit in their lap and they don't have to sit in your lap. You can put it right before the Lord, bear that burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what Jesus wanted. The Holy Spirit's in them. The Holy Spirit's in you. Work it. That's when people really know. You know, that's when people know that you're a witness. Okay? All right. Do we have somebody ready to answer the question, they think? It is not. Oh, pull something up. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. I just heard some amazing news. Is it your birthday today?
Yes, it is.
Well, you have to get the rendition of the David Spoon famous birthday song. Are you ready for that?
Okay.
Okay, you can't hang up. Okay, you can't hang up. Ready? All right.
Okay.
All right. You want me to go or do you want to play it? All right. Okay. I want to. Okay. Happy birthday
to you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you. That was great.
Yeah, this is something you won't forget, but will want to. All right, so what is the last thing that Jesus said in the New Testament?
I could be wrong, but I'm thinking it was something like... Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
Yeah, see, this is why I was telling people about Revelation. It's in the very end of Revelation, so there's three things Jesus said. So I'm going to walk through you with them together, okay? Because it's good to know. The third to last is I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The second to last is I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you that these things in the churches, I am the root of the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the very last thing Jesus said that's acknowledged as Jesus' words is, surely I am coming quickly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. For some reason, I didn't hear Revelation. I don't know what I was thinking.
That's right, because a lot of people don't think about that. And then that was certainly the last book, and then it wasn't written until 95 AD. So as best as we can tell, and actually that word quickly is a kind of an interesting Greek word because it has to do with taku or tachometer. But surely I am coming quickly. That's the last thing Jesus said to all of us for his mouth. Not the very last thing, because the very last thing is, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate the birthday song, and I hope y'all have a good afternoon.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so I did make a quick mistake, and let me just correct that real quickly. The very, very last thing is, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's verse 21. That's 22:21. Okay, that was my fault. I did chapter 21, verse 21. Yeah, I make mistakes. Leave me alone. All right. So here, we only got so many minutes. we're like a community. It's like a gang. We need to get together and like watch a movie together or something. That'd be so much fun. Anyway, all right. So why is it this whole thing important? Why am I making such a big deal? What a big deal maker you are, Dave, about this whole thing about doing everything through Christ. What's the big deal? Who cares? What's the big deal? Here is the big deal. One of the things that we forget, and I'm not sure why we forget it. I think I forget it because I'm not all that intelligent or I'm not all that thoughtful. But we forget 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, which says, "For we are co-workers in God's service." And then Mark 16, 19 through 20, when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at the right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Just in case you want to know, some people are like, Mark 16, 19, 20 was added afterwards. It's quoted in the first century or the second century, so maybe not so much. But here's the real bottom line, because I think it's a part of the text. Here's the bottom line. God works in partnership with people. That is what he wanted in the garden. God works in concert. Think about how the scriptures were created over a 3,500-year process from what we see now, 1,500 years when they were writing it, 40-some-odd authors. God working in partnership with mankind to write the communication God has for man. God creates man, puts him in the garden. What's the purpose of the garden? Because God needed an inexpensive landscaper. I think that would be ridiculous. God wanted to be in relationship and partnership with mankind. Everything that we go about and do has to be understood through the prism of that God is partnering with us, connected to us, and he's our partner in all of it. Since every breath comes from God, therefore every breath we take is a gift from God. We know that from Acts 17, 24 through 28, and James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. Therefore, God is in concert or partnership with us in the things that we do as well as our existence. Everything that takes place is to be in partnership with God. This is why self-empowerment is dangerous, because the idea is that you can do things apart from God, and God doesn't put up with that. The whole premise of the original sin was doing something apart from God, and God doesn't put up with that. The whole idea behind self-pride and self-realization is apart from God, and God doesn't put up with that. The bottom line is that everything God wants in our lives is to be in concert with him, which is why he wants us to seek him, which is why he wants us to spend time with him daily, so that everything we go through in life is in this union with the Lord. That's why. That's why you can do all things through Christ, and apart from Christ, you can do nothing that has any value or merit. Okay? All right. Could take a break and finish up. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
And that hope that is offered to us is something that's supposed to greatly encourage us. Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And by faith in the testimony of God, you can live forever. That hope is offered to us. If that hope is offered to you and you have not yet accepted, acknowledged, and surrendered to it, I ask you to do so right this second. I don't even care if you do a fancy prayer. Just say, God, save me in Jesus' name. You will be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, 3 days later he rose again, and you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, turning from where you were and turning to him, you will find life right now. You might be out there thinking, there's no way it can be that easy. Wrong, but you have to receive it. You have to surrender to it. You have to acknowledge God's testimony and say yes to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what your friends say. Doesn't matter what any other family member says. It only matters for your decision before God in regards to his testimony relating to Jesus Christ and your sins. And that's the hope that is offered to us. And we can be greatly encouraged by that. And that hope is an anchor to our soul. That anchor makes it so that even if the winds are heavy and the waves are intense, we don't get tossed and lost. That there is some stability, that there is some strength. And you can't be like these people that have no hope. All there is this life and there's nothing else. That's why they're trying to sin their brains out, because they don't think there's anything else left. But they're going to die and face God. And he's going to ask regarding his account that he's given in relationship to Jesus Christ. And they're going to have to answer. And if they have rejected, then they will be as they have placed themselves as people with no hope. But if you're a person that has not made that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ, make that decision right now. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our very last trivia question. What have you got for me, Terrific T, for our last question? All right, the reason that we've been doing that is these trivia questions have been harder than all that. We've taken it up a whole notch. Now, tomorrow probably won't be as hard, but today it is. Here you go. Here's the last trivia question. What are known as the pastoral epistles? And remember, an epistle is not the wife of an apostle. What are known as the pastoral epistles? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. There you go. Or you can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, we have a Greek word to review, and a good one at that. So let's play. Let's play our Greek music. Boy, I don't know if you noticed, but I've just been talking all over myself today. Today has been one of those great days. All right, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Homath umadan. Yeah, forget. You probably can't say it. I can't say it. It means to be unanimous, having mutual consent, being in agreement, having group unity, having one mind and purpose. That's what we want on this show. You think, well, why is that? And the reason that is so that we're of one mind, one accord. Then when we're praying, we're having one petition, we're kind of like in sync. That's what you want. Day of Pentecost fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place. What happened when they were all in one accord with one place? The Holy Spirit came. Like, woo, doggy. That's a key right there. If the church could figure out how to walk in a better line of unity, stop using the denominations as dividing walls and use them as appreciation walls, that would be so much better, because there'd be a lot more of the Holy Spirit pouring out. That's just the way it is. And when the church can get it together, like everybody who participates in this show, you're doing something that many churches will not allow. You're actually fellowshipping with different denominations without being offended by it. That's brilliance, but that's what the Lord requires, not the other stuff. The other stuff's a lot of pride in the other stuff. Okay, somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Is that what we got? Yeah? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, good afternoon, Dave. This is Al.
Hey, Al. How are you? How you doing? Can you hear me?
I'm good.
Oh, good. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I just want to make sure you can hear me. If you can hear me,
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay. All right. I know sometimes you need ibuprofen once you hear me.
What'd you say?
What?
I'm just teasing.
That's so bad. That was so bad. I almost fell for it, too. All right, my good friend. The pastoral epistles. What would those be?
I believe it's three books. 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus.
That is correct, Amundo!
That is right. Pastoral Epistles. Actually, it was one of the first classes I ever took in Bible college. Pastoral Epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, as they are addressed to these Titus and to Timothy in pastoral situations, which is where you get the qualifications and so on and so forth. Although, it's a little skewed for churches to say a pastor has to fulfill the 1st Timothy and the Titus qualifications because they were in two completely different situations. So when people put those together, that's not right.
just telling you, just letting you know,
it's one of those things where you're like, well, that's wrong because one guy was on the island of Crete and the other guy was over there. You can't put those together. Anyway,
no,
that's just me being irritating. Excellent job, my brother. That was very, very good.
All right,
I appreciate
it. Have a great day, and we'll hopefully talk to y'all tomorrow.
Okay, God bless.
All right, you too. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Excellent job from our brother. Great job. Really appreciate that. Okay. All right, we got a few minutes left. I just want to make sure you know, I'm going to hammer it home because that's what I do, right? So we already talked about the Greek word, and we already did this. We've done the website enough. You've heard all the warnings. You heard all this stuff. Pastoral Epistles, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. Got it. Here's the bottom line to what I'm trying to talk about. What I'm trying to get us to do is be maybe a little more conscious of there is nothing wrong with you partnering with God, taking on a task. Okay, let me finish. There is nothing wrong with you partnering with God, taking on a vision. Most of the time when you have a vision, it's the Lord who's is the one who's given it to you. And we used to have a saying in the church, and it was your vision, your burden. In other words, somebody would come and say, we really need to have this in the church. And then we would turn around and say, well, since the Lord put that on your heart, you must be the person who's supposed to do that. That really cut down on a lot of people giving suggestions. Because if people really felt that way and really felt that's something that the church should have, there's a reason that God put that in their system, but they didn't want to necessarily respond. Here's the thing I'm trying to communicate, and that is, if the Lord has put something on your heart, if you have some kind of vision, if you have some kind of idea, the Lord is with you in these things. The Lord wants you to do things that will advance the kingdom. One of the most wonderful things that came up out of the text, I'm just going to use them, and I didn't get their permission, so they'll have to forgive me if they get mad at me. But Joanne and Cordelia both are like, well, we want to be like kind of more in the teaching format, like Ezraites, Ezraites or something. It's like that's the Lord putting in their heart a desire to be more communication in the teaching and more into that process. Now, how will that work out? Don't know. But I know that they can do it, and through the Lord, they can do all things, and it's kingdom oriented, so it can happen. And it's like the first thing you do is you start praying about it, bring it before the Lord, say, start, you know, opening my mind, opening my eyes to see. Well, many of you have ministries within you that are a part of you that you're like, I can't do that. I'm not a professional minister. There is no biblical position, you'll hate this, for a professional minister, because the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are supposed to equip the body for works of ministry, for works of service. Everybody's a minister. And the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are supposed to be the encouragers or the cheerleaders or the player coaches for everybody else. They're not supposed to have this unique, holy position. Only I can share the word because I wear a tie. I mean, are you kidding? Could you imagine? Can you imagine how that guy who was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he had the spirits cast out of him, and Jesus says, go tell people? Do you know how that would fly today? The guy's probably still smelly, probably a mess. Jesus is like, go tell people. It's like, well, first you have to have, you know, mints because your breath is terrible. Go tell people. That's what Jesus wants. So you have these ministries, and the Lord wants to do these things in partnership with you. He wants you to do them. He's just like, let's do it, let's do it. You can't do this by yourself. You shouldn't even want to try to do anything of this stuff by yourself. You should do everything in partnership with God. He should be your not silent partner in everything. Why? Because God's never silent. He's never a silent partner. And it shouldn't be all about what you can or can't do. It should be what you're doing through him, with him, and because of him. And you know that he loves to partner with people. It's all throughout Scripture. You know that's one of the reasons God created mankind, was to hang out in partnership with mankind. And the answer to all of this is you and God doing it together. And you think, but I don't know everything. I don't know as much as everybody else. Well, the truth of the matter is there's just a very small percentage of people that know a whole bunch. And what you do know is what the Lord has shown you. And that's what you're supposed to use. It's not what you don't have. And you think, well, how do you know that's true, Dave? Because what just came to my mind was the loaves and the fishes. Jesus didn't say, well, here's the five loaves and the two fish, and it's not enough. He took what he had, he gave thanks, and he passed it out, and it multiplied. Ding, ding, ding. You take what you have, you give thanks for it. Boy, I should be writing this down. And you give it away, and God will multiply it. That's how you do that. And there'll be stuff left over. You're more than equipped. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You have an ability. You have the capacity to instruct one another, to strengthen one another, to guide one another. Just got to find the format. And if you're thinking, I'm afraid, I get it. You didn't think it was fearful for me to, I want to do another radio show. What, are you crazy? But you got to try. You got to bring it before the Lord. You got to present it and allow him to work with you in a partnership to do things of ministry. This is to what you were created for. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's not to sit on your blessed assurance. I mean, you know that's true, right? So here's my summation. Come before the Lord. Be earnest, be honest, recognize you can't do this apart from him. You need to do this through him, and ask him to help you and be your partner and guide you through whatever it is that he's poured into you and that he wants you and him to partner in. And if it's nothing, then let him tell you it's nothing, because I don't believe that's true at all. I believe everybody has, at a minimum, an intercessory prayer ministry, period. But I think there's many ministries out there waiting. The Lord is waiting for us to present ourselves. It's just what I think. You can just kind of work it through, see what the Lord tells you or doesn't tell you. I think it's right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More insanity and spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Who knows when a broken heart.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.